passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time. And this, the third Thursday of the month, as we do in all of our third Thursdays. Our third Thursdays mean we're thirsty for knowing what's going on astrologically. We're thirsty for none other than Rob Stewart. We drink him right down, kind of like Kuan Yin and the stars falling from the heavens. You can connect up with our monthly astrologer through innerastrology.com. Because if you don't have your chart or you don't understand your chart, you can't really fully appreciate everything that Rob and I are going to share with you today about what the planetary influences are for the next month. So, Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. Kevin, and it's innercenterastrology.com.
Astrology.
Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, we're coming into that Mercury retrograde. Yeah. I'm practicing for its arrival. I said innercenter.com. I'm like, no shit, it was innercenter. Yeah. Rob will correct me. He has no problem telling me when I'm wrong. And I do want to remind people, if you have any specific questions about what Rob and I are talking about your astrology, about how this astrology, the weather, the astrological weather in the skies for the next month are going to affect you, please feel free to call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, Rob, tell me, what's up in the heavens?
Yeah. Well, good question. I mean, there's a lot going on right now, actually. So I guess we'll start with we had a solar eclipse in Aries just this morning, actually. And it's called a total hybrid solar eclipse, which in fact is very rare, actually. These hybrid eclipses, they occur when the moon is at its furthest distance from the Earth, and only about 3 to 5% of solar eclipses are in the hybrid category. And what makes it a hybrid is, you know, the moon being far away from the Earth, but also that it really only creates a small band of shadow on the Earth. You know, there's only a small portion of the Earth that will experience it as a full eclipse. But it is a solar eclipse, and it was around midnight, I think, Eastern time last night. Solar eclipses bring new beginnings. One way to see them is it's sort of like you cross a bridge and then you look back, the bridge is no longer there and there's only, you know, moving forward available, really. And so we're all moving through that, astrologically speaking, this sort of new beginning. This eclipse was at 29 degrees Aries. And, the 29th degree of any sign is what's called an aneritic degree. And it's sort of a pressurized degree that's sort of bringing change and sort of squeezing new beginnings. And in Aries, it's a definitely new beginning. These are some of the components of it. I just want to check in with you, Dr. Kevin, if there's anything you want to add before I go into some of the more detail here with this eclipse.
No, not yet. I mean, the only thing that I thought really literally was that, you know, this eclipse is, we refer to as a travel size eclipse. It's convenient to pack up and take with you in your suitcase.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Right on. They are, eclipses are considered like wake-up calls. essentially, and they sort of mark key points in life. And you know, this particular eclipse is conjunct Jupiter, which is a wonderful, you know, Jupiter's called the great benefact. It brings positive, expansive, abundant energy. And what's that quote? You know, the fortune favors the bold. That's certainly a key component of this solar eclipse in Aries. Aries brings about, you know, it asks us to act in courage, asks us to be bold, trust our instincts, and take action in life. And with it conjunct Jupiter, it's a 6-degree conjunction. So it's not a tight conjunction with Jupiter, but it is in the energy field. And so it's sort of asking us to dare to dream big, to expand our view of the world, to take action on something that perhaps in the past you felt was out of reach, but to be able to hold and envision something larger than what you could perhaps have comprehended before. You know, these are certainly some of the themes. And wherever 29 degrees is in your chart, it's bringing new beginnings in that area over this next 6-month period. So for those listeners that are listening and have their birth chart in front of you, you can take a look at where 29 degrees Aries is by house. And that house will indicate where in the next 6 months there's some real opportunities for you to make some new changes and new beginnings.
So did you pull my chart so you can tell me?
You know, I should have known that question was coming.
Of course it was coming. Well, I'm going to point out something about what you said so I can talk while you pull it up, and then you can tell me where I'm going to get shabammed. I want our audience to know, see how powerful working with you is, Rob. I want to give them a hands-on experience of, wow, look what Rob just told Dr. Kevin because he has his chart. Maybe I need to go get a chart with Rob. So, you know, work with me here. Work with me. I'm pimping you. So I think one of the things I found most interesting what you said is because you have the sun, which, of course, we think of as ruling the planet Leo, fire sun. We have Jupiter. And what does Jupiter rule?
Jupiter rules Sagittarius.
Another fire sign. And yep. We're in what? Aries. Another fire sign. Yep. And so, yeah, I actually didn't know the answer to the question. And I thought, oh, he's looking at my chart. I probably shouldn't have asked him that. I ask you to do something and then I interrupt you. But anyway, so it automatically says to me, Rob, no matter where that 29 degrees Aries is in your chart, that part of is you know, and you said it's 6 degrees and you're like, you know, it's a little wide. It's 6 degrees. And I'm like, I don't think it's wide at all because you don't have to have, I mean, I know technically in, you know, astrological math land, but I think when you have a fire sign, well, and you know, with anything to do with the sun, I always expand out closer to 10 degrees, but you have a fire sign, fire sign, fire sign. You have a triple hit here. And so whatever this is not only a new beginning, but it is like an explosion into a passion that either you have left behind or you are discovering. I think that it is going to be a time of epiphany for people to realize that it's time to either take some kind of action to make my life mine. Again, whether it's bringing back an old passion that you felt like you had to let go of because of time and tide and life and social pressures, or whether it's a passion that you've always known was there, but you never felt like you had permission to explore. But with all this fire, I think passion, explosive passion.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So like this gets me all revved up. You should hear my engine running.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Kevin, what time were you born? Do you mind me asking what time you're born? Because it's funny, embarrassingly, your chart I have on my online program, but I'm not online right now, but I have your date of birth.
Yeah, it's 4:52 in Exeter, and I can probably bring it up. But I do actually, you know, I'm sorry, what?
It was PM, right?
PM. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, great. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for you, the solar eclipse is in your fifth house. And the fifth house is the house of creativity. It's the house of pleasure. It's the house of pouring yourself into the world. And oftentimes that's in a way that's, you know, you are creating something, you know, the idea of performance or creativity, artwork, but also really connecting with the inner child, connecting with that playfulness, connecting with fun. You know, what is it that is fun? You know, following your bliss. These are all fifth house themes. It's also the house of children and things of that nature. So yeah, that's an area in your chart that is being activated over this 6-month period.
And the fifth house is naturally the house of Leo. Yet again,
that's
another
right.
fire stick. I'm looking at all these matches. Like they keep throwing matches on the fire for me. So either I'm get my EGOT in the next 6 months, I'll get an Emmy, a Tony, an Oscar, and a Grammy. Or I'm going to give birth to several children, or I'm going to open up a brothel. I don't know, but you know.
Well, it's, you know, it's also trining your Jupiter in the first house, which is in Sagittarius, which, this is a powerful, creative, independently creative period of time for you these next 6 months. So, excited. We're all excited to hear the three that you listed, which one it is. So we'll be waiting to hear what it was for you.
Hey, it's me. It could be all three. So you can pick it up now.
Yeah, right on. Well, you know, so the other thing about this eclipse is, let's see, let me just pull up the eclipse again. Is that it does square Pluto, and Pluto's in Aquarius. Pluto's at 0 degrees Aquarius, and Pluto's a major theme this year because it's squaring the north and south nodes of the moon. And whenever a planet squares the north and south nodes of the moon, it brings about the opportunity to make new choices. And it's sort of, I guess you could say, a karmic time for humanity. And that's going to show up in different ways in different cultures and different societies and countries. But after the break, we can, you know, talk about some of these Pluto and Aquarius themes, because over the next 6 months with the solar eclipse squaring Pluto, there's going to be some of these themes for us all to navigate over these next 6 months. And so, yeah, there's plenty to talk about all that. I don't know if we want to save that for after the break or if we want to just roll into it right now.
Keep going, because breaks have just shifted. This is your first show, so we've shifted the breaks. They now just happen at half after the hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. Great. So, you know, Pluto in Aquarius, Pluto spends a long period of time in each sign. It's, you know, it's something from 12 to 14 years in a sign. And Pluto represents this empowerment journey that we're all on. Now, the idea of figuring out how to get strong in this area of life. Wherever Pluto is in your birth chart, it speaks to some wounding that we've experienced in the past, you know, earlier in life or in past lives. And so transiting Pluto, as it's moving through the signs, we're sort of working through the deeper level of our psyche, the type of areas in our life where we've experienced some wounding, and we're, despite that wounding, we're finding, regaining strength in that area to feel more empowered than in the past. And so with Pluto and Aquarius, Aquarius is all about, there's many themes related to Aquarius, but one theme is related to the pressures of conformity, the pressures of being your individual unique self and combining with like-minded people, despite the pressures of conformity and society and things. And so Pluto in Aquarius is also, Aquarius is known for technology. And clearly we're entering a period of time in human evolution where technology is getting to the point where, like, oh boy, you know, we really, this is something major. And I know we've, luckily humans have said that constantly through time when technology is advanced. But, you know, with the emergence of ChatGPT, these artificial intelligences, that it can literally write poetry better than most humans in a fraction of the time. It brings about some interesting life themes that we are all going to have to navigate at some point or another. And so the challenge of technology, both, you know, technology is the classic double-edged sword, where on one hand it's wonderful and helping expand connections and bringing more leisure and effortlessness to life. But on the other hand, there's some real challenges involved with it, just like the internet and social media has shown us in the past. But over these next 13 years, as Pluto's transiting through Aquarius, there's going to be some challenges that humanity will have to navigate with regards to technology, its role, and how we can become empowered despite any challenges in that area. Do you have anything to add in that area?
Well, I mean, we've been struggling. I mean, especially with the onset of like social media and being so connected in some positive, but some definitely negative ways, and, you know, like hooked up to the big computer in the sky type of thing. I mean, we've been moving towards this, and in some ways, artificial intelligence, I think, has been creeping into humanity because we are already losing our ability for critical thinking skills. We are oftentimes encouraged to not question, to not challenge. Actually, in some states these days, they're making it illegal to think. So they want their intelligence to be artificial. And it's almost like, I do agree. I mean, I think this is going to be a challenging time when we have a couple of generations that are solidly moving into adulthood or are in early adulthood that have been robbed of the ability to understand things like nuanced in-person conversations and subtleties, and to exercise critical thinking skills and to push back. And we have been awash with, you know, literally tons of sewage out of the media and out of Washington and from politicians, and an inability without critical thinking skills to not know what's a lie. Like, people can't even identify what's a lie anymore half the time. And I think that this is all going to come back in and into play. And, you know, and now they've determined, I don't know if you saw this, but they now have a program that professors can use that can scan students' papers to say that that paper was written by AI.
Oh, do they really?
Yes. And they had one girl that was like at the top of her class, and they said that paper was written by AI, and they were actually wrong because she actually was brilliant. And she actually did write the paper, and she proved she wrote the paper. But they thought it was so good that it was AI because we have been so busy dumbing down humanity that we forget we actually have the capacity for brilliance. So those were my thoughts. None of them directly astrological, but I think that this is...
No, it's very relevant.
Yeah, I think this is an upcoming time. And
I mean,
you know, I just would like to take this artificial intelligence chip and be able to code it for identifying lying and bullshit and just drop it into 90% of Americans right now, and we'd have a much different country.
Yeah, I mean, these are the types of choices and navigations that humanity will have to face at some point. You know, what's really interesting, I didn't know that they had an ability to identify if it was AI or not with regards to papers. I mean, it's very clear that I haven't played around with ChatGPT myself, but I know people that did, and the thing will nearly instantly write an amazing, you know, relatively speaking, it'll nearly instantly write an amazing paper or poem on whatever topic you want. And it'll do all the research and it'll put it together. And it really is going to push formal education as we know it in terms of, you know, what are skills that are worth knowing and worth being capable of, because one could easily see a future where if kids think it's easy, you know, why even bother learning to express yourself in a paper or other thing when a computer can do it in a fraction of the time and to a degree that few humans can, why even bother? And so there's some real challenges I think we face as a society, and I think eventually that, you know, might the relevant discussion that I see it evolving towards, one of them is, you know, what is a soul? What is it? You know, if a computer can think like the egoic mind can think, which is not the soul, it's the computer mind that, you know, we all have a machine in our mind, so to speak, that it can process and analyze, and but that's not the soul itself. And awareness and consciousness watches the mind, it observes the mind, but it's not the mind. It's, you know, the thinking mind is something a bit different than that, that can be emulated by a computer. And so it really pushes the envelope on what on even, you know, the mainstream view of what consciousness is. You know, this, it opens up all sorts of different conversations, and you know, it's certainly an interesting road ahead. So, but anyways, this is all, you know, Pluto and Aquarius material, bringing to surface and transformation through challenges associated with technology.
Yep. And like you said, it's squaring the north and south node. And so, you know, the solution will be easy, that the time will come where if we are going to make sure that individuals can actually think, and there's a lot out there that don't know how, that if they have to write a paper, they have to write it in class without a computer, without a cell phone, without anything. They're going to have to use paper and a pen. Oh my God, you know, the anxiety level will be out the roof. but that's what they're going to have to do. And tests are going to have to be given orally in a way in which nobody has access to any kind of technology to say, do you actually know this information? Because I don't want an AI bot getting some surgeon that has to work, you know, like give me heart surgery to write the papers that might tell him something that he's going to miss because he didn't have to do the work. I mean, there are still some things you do need to have human intuition, instinct, you have to have experience and wisdom for that I don't see computers ever replacing. But I see the damage of fooling ourselves to think that they can.
I agree.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting dozen years. And it is definitely also going to be an interesting 6 months for everybody who is going to have some version of awakening because of this 29th degree solar eclipse. So anyways.
Yeah. Yep. No, right on. And, you know, Aquarius, you know, technology is one part of Aquarius. Another part is, like we said, the idea of conformity and the group mind, there's just some interesting dynamic that occurs when a group gets together and then starts pushing one thing, and the group think is a real thing that can be very destructive. And Aquarius, and certainly Pluto in Aquarius, is there's a lot of themes related to that, and so over these next 12 years there can be the war drums or whatever it is, these different things where we as a society kind of join in this group think. There's certainly going to be themes around that with Pluto transiting Aquarius over these next 13, 14 years. I'm not saying war or anything like that, but that's a good example of how groupthink and everyone sort of conditioned in that way,
So, and there's a huge difference, and this is what we're going to have to push on and press on and work with, is there's a difference between a think tank and a hive mind. And we'll pick that up when we get back right after this break. Rob.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. This is our monthly planetary influences, where we look at what's going on in the astrological weather of the skies and what kind of opportunities and challenges is that weather going to have for you. If you have your chart, take it out. If you have your chart, but it is hieroglyphics to you and you don't know how to read it or interpret it or apply it, well, you need a chart. We recommend here on the Dr. Kevin Show that you go to innercenterastrology.com, set an appointment up with our astrologer extraordinaire, Rob Stewart, who's on with me every month. And he will not only do your chart, he will help guide you in ways monthly on the updates of what's going on. So you get a chart and then you get this lifetime of servitude until Rob tells me to go pound sand and leave. Rob, right?
I don't know about that, Dr. Kevin, but
I just wanted to finish up there when I said, did it make sense when I said the difference between a think tank and a hive mind?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I you know, when you say that, you know, obviously a think tank is a focused group that's looked to explore one thing or the other thing. A hive mind is a more pervasive, homogeneous view that there's no counterpoint, you know? So that's the way I see what you said. Am I picking up what you're putting down?
Well, I think what we need to do it, and this has been one of my big things over the last, actually the last couple of years, because, you know, hive minds work well for ants and bees and animals and those kinds of things that need to come together as a group and, you know, and basically has a lot of drones, a lot of followers, you know, like this stuff. But in humans, we don't call it a hive mind, we call it a cult. Because that's what a hive mind is when humans do it, a cult.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is where we have to say, coming together and exchanging ideas and creating better ideas and better solutions and things that is a representation of a number of different perspectives that keep in the mind the good of the whole is very different than signing on to a cult, which tells you what to think, how to think, what to do, and then, you know, makes you almost hostile and violent and really works very hard to keep you stupid. Cults work to keep you stupid. They work right to keep you ignorant. And because they don't want you questioning. And, you know, we have major, major, huge cults functioning right now in this country. And, you know, so I think we have to stay on top of that because I think that's one of the dangers. And I think that this Pluto that you're talking about, the Pluto in Aquarius could just even make that worse. So, but what else is going on? Because we have a half a show left, and I'm sure there's probably at least a few more things we want to make sure we cover.
That's right. So, well, great points. And so, you know, not only did we have a solar eclipse today, we also, the sun entered Taurus today. So today is the first day of the Taurus season. And as the sun enters a sign, these signs are associated with seasons here in Western astrology, I guess you'd say. And so, you know, Taurus season is late April, first part of May. And Taurus and the season is about living according to one's own values. There's a focus and an opportunity to shine light in your life and areas of self-reliance. self-esteem. These are all Taurian type of focuses. Figuring out what truly matters to you and living according to that value system. And not only that, you know, improving your skill set, turning your skills into money, and so that you can have and own the things you need to feel safe and secure. Safety and security is a major theme in Taurus. And, you know, we have currently Uranus transiting through the sign of Taurus, which is shaking up these foundations of, you know, asking us to make adjustments in areas of safety. You know, over the past, you know, obviously, you know, during COVID, there was shakeups to the safety for obvious reasons, clear reasons, and so you know, with the sun transiting through Taurus, it's an opportunity to find more stability and what safety means for you in life. And oftentimes that can come through nature. That's a wonderful Taurus theme, is to, you know, go take a walk in nature, feel grounded, feel the solid earth beneath your feet, and really keep things simple and enjoy the simple pleasures of life. You know, these are all sort of Taurus themes. Taurus is also associated with moving slowly, being connected with the earth, like I said, finding more grounded ways of being, to be patient and stabilizing in your actions. These are all themes over this next month.
You know, and Uranus is a slow-moving planet, as is Pluto. I mean, when it goes into a place, it hangs around there for a while. Right. And one of the things I want to throw in here, a lot of times, safety, a lot of what we think of as safety is an illusion. We sell ourselves a bill of goods to make ourselves feel safe. And we see all the time when you hear things like good things, you know, bad things happen to good people, when something unexpected happens, when, I mean, just this week, look at those, I think it was three different sets of teenagers that got shot for going to the wrong car in confusion, or going up the wrong driveway, or ringing the doorbell of the wrong house. I mean, safety is really an illusion. When you are counting on safety to be outside of yourself. True safety is being grounded in yourself and in touch with yourself and listening to your inner voices and walking with your extended being, your extended spiritual being, you know, and that what is much more likely to keep us safe is to ground into and listen to and pay attention to the little voice that will guide us and more often than not keep us safe through making the right set of decisions, instead of kind of sort of taking safety for granted. And this Uranus in Taurus is trying to get us to take back the power of safety by not making it some kind of external illusion, but some type of internalized knowing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yep.
And this is so important. And I say that about safety, and I oftentimes say these same things about control, because when we feel like we're in control, it makes us feel safe, but control is even a bigger illusion than safety.
Right.
And that's right. World and life is an unpredictable place. If you are solely relying on your intellect and historical experience and information that has been fed to you. It makes it even more unpredictable. People think that if they lean into their intelligence, they can predict everything that's going to happen. And, you know, once God gets up off the floor from belly laughing and rolling around, they realize, oh, shit, I didn't think of all the possibilities, or there was the unknown, or everything didn't happen the way that my intellect told me it was going to happen based on historical experience. So, and of course, definitely, I feel like this is part of the shakeup of this Uranus and the Taurian energy. So I'll let you continue. I've prattled enough.
Yeah, no, those are wonderful points, great points. And it sort of is a great segue also into this, the Mercury retrograde that technically begins tomorrow, which is in the sign of Taurus. And basically a Mercury retrograde, or any planet retrograde rather, is when the planet from the Earth's perspective starts moving backwards in the sky. And of course, that planet isn't truly moving backwards in the sky. It's just that from our perspective from Earth, you know, much like passing a car on the highway, the car seems to be moving backwards, but in fact, you're just moving faster than the car. So with Mercury retrograde, which happens four times a year, and they're 3 weeks long, and it's a time to really rethink and reanalyze, reprocess, and reevaluate the area of life that it indicates in the chart. And in Taurus, it's exactly these themes. You know, Uranus has been in there for a long time, like you said, shaking things up and inviting us to question what safety means in our life, if it's something external, which is obviously temporary, depending on the time scale involved. Whereas the true safety is internal and inside, like you so well described, Dr. Kevin. And with Mercury retrograde over these next 3 weeks in Taurus, there are opportunities for all of us to rethink and re-look at these exact themes in our life. In addition to the themes of, you know, self-reliance, self-confidence, all these things really do stem from security itself, the idea of safety and what safety is in our life. But, you know, rethinking finances, rethinking stability, rethinking, you know, what is it that I need to feel more stable in my life? You know, like you said, is it another thing I need to purchase, or is there some inner work that I need to get a bit more clear on regarding some old beliefs about attachments to external things. So these are some of the themes of the Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. And I think that that journey inward, and that is happening with, you know, now we have both Mercury and Uranus playing in Taurus. And I don't know what degree Uranus is in Taurus off the hot top of my head. So I don't know if they will at some point conjunct during this period. Because I think it goes retrograde in Taurus at like 15 degrees or something. I'm not positive. Pulling things out of my memory, which is always a bad idea.
You're right. It is. It is 50 degrees.
So, what degree is the Uranus?
Uranus is currently at 17 degrees. So it's close, but it's very much related to everything you brought up with regards to the shakeups in safety, security. What can we rethink about that to bring more stability in our life, you know?
Yeah. So that Mercury is going to go up and just kiss the Uranus energy and then go, shit, danger, danger, Will Robinson, run in the other direction, and then turn around and head dead for it, and then it will conjunct it after Mercury's direct. So not only does this talk to me of the joint power of the two both being in Taurus, but even more power that when Mercury goes direct and moves forward, that it's going to take those lessons that are going to have the shadow of Uranus with them, because it came so close. It came into a conjunction energy with it. Came within 2 degrees. So it came in and it got brushed with the Uranus energy. And then it's going back inward. And then it's going to have to go back forward. And when that conjunction hits, I feel like it gives it a little extra juice, because the Mercury got a running head start after it already brushed the energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, it does.
I think that when we're looking at this is, you know, kind of this illusion of safety, and even the events of this week as it was going into what I would consider a conjunction-like energy, because Mercury moves fast, so it's kind of barreling towards Uranus. And I just look at some of the things like this, these killings this week, these murders from crazy people that are allowed to have guns that shouldn't have guns.
Yeah.
You know? So it is, I think that those days, which will be probably in our June forecast when that conjunction happens, if I more or less do the math, I could be off, but it's going to be somewhere. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a powerful time. And I feel like we may be drawn to have to improve our internal safety guides and values and measures. And I'll let it go with that. So what else is going on in these skies?
Yeah, well, so we have on May 1st, we have a Pluto retrograde. Pluto retrogrades occur every year for about 5 months. And, you know, similar to Mercury retrograde, Pluto is when it's perceived as moving backwards in the sky. And, you know, Pluto retrograde is a time to really relook at our empowerment in our lives. You know, where do we feel disempowered? Are we bringing our self-will and self-power, personal power, into our lives in a healthy and, you know, in a way that we're proud of? And so Pluto retrograde will be starting in Aquarius, but then dipping back into Capricorn. So this, you know, with Pluto in Capricorn, it brings into light authority structures, different structures of our society and the systems and authority structures over this next 5 months. But it's a time, you know, at a personal level for each of us to really look at, you know, do we feel empowered? Are we moving through life in an empowering way? And for each of us, that's going to be showing up a bit different based on the placement of Pluto in your birth chart at about 0 degrees Aquarius.
So you said at the beginning of the show, and that was so long ago, my memory may be remembering incorrectly. Obviously, you said there was going to be a real power at wherever you had 29 degrees Aries. But did you actually say that anything that's at 29 degrees gets a little bump from that solar eclipse energy, or did I mishear that?
Anything that touches, anything that's around 29 degrees Aries in your birth chart will be activated, certainly for this next 6 months ahead.
Okay. So go ahead, keep going. I thought I actually heard you say that that anything going on at 29 degrees also got a little bit of a bump.
Oh,
but you didn't.
Well, I mean, you don't mean of any other sign, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly, I think that's a fair thing to say. You know, some, depending on the aspect being made, some will be more relevant than others. But yes, if you have any planets at 29 degrees, it is going to make some level of aspect with Pluto, the solar eclipse at 29. They're going to show up to varying degrees, at varying levels, because of the different aspects it can make across the sign.
The only reason I say that is because you said that the effect will be up to 6 months long, which then brings in another astrological event. And all I could think of is this Pluto is going to go twice over 29 degrees Capricorn when it goes retrograde. So it might get a little extra juge itself by doing this run over the 29 degrees. It's all these little like nerdy things you got to get into, right? We're astrological nerds. So go ahead. What else?
That's right. Yeah, no, when Pluto transits at 29 degrees Capricorn, I imagine some headlines, and we're going to be seeing that again because it is squaring the north and south node of the moon. But the final thing, just real quick, is related to the lunar eclipse that will be on May 5th. And this is essentially a full moon on steroids is kind of how to see it. The full moon is in Scorpio, and full moon in Scorpio, there's a real emphasis on seeing, what's really happening here beneath the surface. Forget the surface layer of things in life. With this full moon, there's this deep soul calling to release and to work through anything that's been beneath the surface. With a full moon, that's when the sun and the moon are in opposition to one another in the sky, which brings opportunities for integration and for seeing things from seemingly opposite but congruent relations with one another. And so, a full moon in Scorpio, the way to lose your way with a full moon in Scorpio would be to manage your energy in a way that you feel emotionally drained. So self-care is an important thing. With a moon in Scorpio, there can be a tendency to think, be more paranoid than usual, or to be quick to thinking in a more cynical way. So be aware of, be mindful of any of those types of things. But in a true sense, it's asking for a deeper transformation, a deeper look at in areas of your life, and to see where that deeper purging and releasing of deeper emotional material is ready to be released. So that's what I have on that the lunar eclipse on May 5th.
So now, my natal moon is in Scorpio, and it's in Scorpio in the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I look that this might have an increased or more intense? I mean, what would you say to me before we run out of time with a Scorpio moon in the 12th that I would be looking at with this lunar eclipse? In what ways could it be shifted because of my natal placement?
Right. So just looking at your chart, this lunar eclipse moon is occurring right within 3 degrees of your natal moon in the 12th. And so this is a time for you, particularly with Mercury retrograde, where it's a great opportunity to look at and work through releasing some subconscious wounds both house are is areas where that sometimes we don't have full access to, but through surrender, through I guess, you know, meditation and what some consider spiritual work and that sort of thing, this is an opportunity to purge some, in a healthy way, some old psychological material, I guess you'd say, with this full moon lunar eclipse that's very closely conjoined to your natal moon. And so the sun is conjunct Uranus during that time too. So there's a possibility for some sudden unexpected changes, you know, in the headlines over these next few weeks. So yeah, things to look for and opportunities for release.
So May 5th, I'll stay close to the toilet with a big plunger.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good night.
All right. You too.